With me on the telephone is Dr. Suzanne Temmins, a geriatrician who is the clinical lead for the National Dementia Office. And you're welcome, Dr. Temmins, and thank you for joining us on Near FM.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay, listen, I think the last time that we spoke on this show was in November 2017. And on that occasion, you gave some valuable insights into the disease of dementia and on the Understand Together campaign that had just been launched at that time by the Health Minister, Simon Harris. Just to recap, can you give our listeners an outline of the disease of dementia and its effects on a patient?
Sure. So I suppose dementia is a disease of the brain, and there's a few different causes of it, but it affects how someone's brain works. So brain cells start to get injured and to slowly die, and that often affects memory. I think that's what most people think of when they think of dementia. So maybe forgetting a conversation that you've had, someone telling you something and saying, no, I've said this to you before, and it not really ringing a bell. But it's not just memory. It can affect how people can navigate spaces, so find their way around. It can affect how people make decisions and plan things. So I suppose the effect that dementia has on a person really depends on the type of dementia and also the part of the brain that's affected. So mainly memory, but for some people, actually, their memory is quite good, and it's other problems in the way the brain works.
Right. And Dr. Temmins, are there many different types of dementia, or is it one single disease that affects sufferers?
Yeah, so there's actually 400 different causes of dementia, so it's what we call an umbrella term for a lot of other ones. But the most common one people have heard of is Alzheimer's disease, and that actually accounts for about two-thirds of dementia. And that's a particular protein that builds up in the brain. But vascular dementia would be the second most common cause, and that's actually due to poor blood supply to the brain. So we all know people who've had a stroke, but this is due to maybe lots of small different strokes that don't affect your power or your speech, but over time can affect your memory and how your brain works. So they're probably the most common ones, but then there's lots and lots of other causes.
Right, okay. And who contracts dementia? Is it a natural process of aging?
So no, it's not a natural process of aging, because a lot of older people don't have dementia. So the biggest risk factor is getting older. So it's very rare for somebody in their 30s or 40s to have dementia, and becomes more common as you get older. But it's not inevitable. And it's not just normal aging. So as we get older, we do get our brain processing speed slows down. So it takes a little while longer to think of something. Maybe a name doesn't come to your mind just for a few seconds. And that's normal aging of the brain. But dementia is different. It's a disease. It's an abnormal protein or poor blood supply that's actually killing brain cells. So, you know, it is important for people to realise it's a disease. It's not just aging.
Got it. Okay, thank you. And are there many sufferers in Ireland? And, you know, is the condition treatable or curable?
So I suppose, first of all, numbers, there's currently 55,000 people with dementia in Ireland, but actually the numbers will probably double over the next 20 years, and that probably sounds frightening to people, but that's actually because we're all living longer, and when I said as you get older, it becomes more common. The really good news story that people are living so long now in Ireland, which is fantastic good news, unfortunately does mean that dementia becomes more common. So, you know, there will be more people over time with dementia. And unfortunately, at the moment, it's not curable. So we have medications that can help slow down how somebody's memory declines.
Right.
And some people get a really good response, and some people get only a fair response or even no response. But I think what's really exciting is, apart from medications, we know now that training someone's memory, doing exercises to improve their memory, going to somebody's house and seeing how they are doing tasks around their own house and showing them how to adapt and cope with it really is helpful. So I think we're you know, there's a lot of things we can do to help manage the symptoms, even if it's not curing the disease.
Okay. And I believe that current statistics suggest that two-thirds of people living with dementia are women. Have you any idea why this is the case?
Well, so it's actually good news for women. It's because women live longer. So, you know, throughout the world, women tend to outlive men by a few years, and therefore they have more dementia, because the older you are, the more likely you are to have dementia. So it's kind of a good news story for women. And I, you know, obviously we're working to try to reduce causes of death in men and smoking and blood pressure and things like that. But at the moment, women still have the edge.
Okay, got it. So how would a person recognise the early onset of dementia, like of a dementia-type condition, you know, rather than just the normal forgetfulness that seems to come naturally with getting older?
Yeah, so it can be a little bit difficult to spell it out for a person exactly, but it is normal to go upstairs and say, what did I come upstairs for? And it's normal to meet somebody in blank on their name. That kind of, especially if you're put under pressure, that's quite normal forgetfulness that happens us all. But dementia is a step beyond that. It's perhaps, you know, going to cook a meal and really struggling to remember, how do I turn the cooker on again? Or, right, you know, having cooked a meal, you know, we all say that sometimes you put something on, you go to the room and you come in and it's nearly burnt, but it's actually in the room having the meal cooked and then not thinking, well, now I actually need to put it out onto a plate. It's meeting somebody and not just blanking on their name, but actually not really remembering that you've ever met that person before.
Right, okay.
So it's a little bit like normal forgetfulness, but it's to a much bigger degree. So normal things that you know you normally a year or two ago would have done without even thinking about it, and now you're really struggling to do that usual task.
Got it, okay. So the Understand campaign began in 2015 and was launched, I think, around November last year by the Health Minister, Simon Harris. Now, and I believe is still ongoing until the end of 2018. Can you tell our listeners something about this campaign and its objectives?
Sure. So it's a fantastic campaign. The purpose of it, firstly, was to get everyone talking about dementia. So to raise awareness of dementia, because if you don't talk about a disease, it's very hard for the likes of me to push for new services and funding. So it was to get dementia, everyone talking about it, and to reduce the stigma of dementia. So we knew that a lot of people, when they were diagnosed, maybe wanted to hide the diagnosis, or families wanted to hide the diagnosis. And we were saying, you wouldn't do that for other diseases like diabetes,
right,
or cancer. So it was to also to reduce stigma. And then the final part of this campaign, which is just starting now, is a community activation part. And so that's not so much focused on the person with dementia and their family. This is focused on all of us in the community, looking at our community and saying, can we support a person with dementia to live well in our community?
Right,
so that might,
okay,
be a golf club or the ICA. If one of your members developed dementia in the morning, how would they manage to get around your facility? Are the signs for the toilets clear? If someone couldn't drive, would there be someone there that might volunteer and bring them to a meeting? So the next step is all about all of us in the community looking at older people and people with dementia and saying, what could I do to help keep this person that, you know, a part of the community, and that they don't feel that they're going to end up isolated in their own house.
Right, okay. So I believe that as part of this campaign also, that a dementia-friendly garden has been launched in the Phoenix Park at Borbia's Bloom from May the 31st, which is actually today, to June the 4th as part of the Bloom Garden Festival. Can you tell our listeners something about this and the idea behind it?
Yeah, so it's a fantastic garden. I was very lucky that I was able to see it yesterday. And the whole idea of this garden is, first of all, again, to get people talking about dementia. When people come to the garden, we can start a conversation about dementia. But it's also to show people what a dementia-friendly garden might look like. So it's not anything very complicated. It's very simple things are shown, like having a level path, having your plants planted up at a high level so someone isn't having to bend down, having a seat that you can sit down and enjoy the garden. So it's the purpose of it is to show somebody how, even in very small garden, you can make sure that everyone can enjoy it, be that an older person, a younger child, a person with dementia.
So it's more the logistics and the mechanics of the garden rather than the particular plants, the flowers and the smells that are involved.
Yeah, well, it's both. So I suppose the first thing for me would be the mechanics. If you can't get out into your garden, it doesn't matter what's in it. So, but once you've got over the mechanics that it's a garden that everyone can access, the plants and flowers can be important. So I suppose to appeal to all the senses, you know, to have plants that have a nice smell, that attract bees, to have ones that are nicely brightly coloured, maybe plants that you can touch, and then maybe plants that are particularly special to the person. So, you know, if somebody had a favourite plant during their life, if they had flowers that really have a significance for them, to have them in the garden, because that can start someone thinking about, you know, times in the past, and maybe start chatting about, do you remember the day that such and such happened? So, yes, you know, I suppose to personalise it for the person with dementia and find out what flowers do they like and to make sure they're included.
Got it. Okay. Now, Dr. Timmins, is this the type of garden just for patients with dementia to visit and enjoy, say, as per the Botanic Gardens? Or is there opportunity for patients to become involved in planting and gardening themselves?
Yeah, so I think some people don't like gardening, and for them it's just something to enjoy. But a lot of people like gardening. And so an important also message is that a person with dementia, just because they have dementia, it doesn't mean that they have to stop gardening. And so they might need just a little bit of support to garden. For example, a practical thing like making sure their tools are somewhere that they'll easily find them if they're inclined to forget where they put them when they put them away. But that to really encourage people with dementia to still be out in the fresh air, being physically active, because that's really important for all of us, for our mental health and for that feeling of satisfaction that you've done a good job. And so it's that a person with dementia is supported. They mightn't be able to do every task in the garden that they used to do before, but that they can still be supported to do the parts that they can do and that they enjoy doing.
Right, Suzanne. And, you know, this particular garden, it's not just specific to somebody with dementia. Anybody can actually enjoy it. And it's just the mechanics of that garden are comfortable for the person with dementia. The tools and such things are easy to identify and find. And but it's a garden that's suitable for anyone to go into. That is correct, isn't it?
That's absolutely it. And I suppose we have a term we use called universal design. And that means rather than thinking about a person with dementia, a younger person, a person using a stick or a frame or a wheelchair, a person with vision problems, rather than designing different things for different people, we say everyone should be able to use it. And that means all of us get to enjoy it, but if you have a particular need, then you can also enjoy it. So, and a lot of that is common sense about trying to avoid steps if possible, or if there is a step, making sure they're well marked, and maybe there's a handrail for someone to get down.
Right.
Thinking about having, as I said, having to bend right down to the ground as opposed to raising up a flower bed, which, you know, all of us prefer to garden in that way. So a well-designed garden actually works whether you're 10 or 30 or 100, it'll work well for you.
That is okay. So, Dr. Timmins, can you give the website and contact details for any of our listeners that might want to visit the Bloom Dementia Garden in the Phoenix Park from today up to June the 4th?
Sure. So the first thing, if you wouldn't mind, if I could give the website for the Understand Together website in general, it's understandtogether.ie. And for the particular details about the Bloom Garden, it's www.understandtogether.ie/bloom, B-L-O-O-M. But if people get onto the Understand Together website, they should be able to be prompted to go to the Bloom section anyway.
And just to ask you, after June the 4th, is the Bloom Garden no longer there in the Phoenix Park? Or is it been moved, or is there any similar garden available for people to visit?
Well, that's a great idea. So that's a great question. So, you know, not to waste all the fantastic work that's been done in the plants, the garden is actually being moved to Arklow. Now, I don't know the exact venue within Arklow Town for people to continue to enjoy it.
Sure.
And I suppose we're also hoping that this will serve as an inspiration to other kind of town councils and, you know, tidy town committees and things like that to take some of the ideas and to incorporate it into new gardens that they're developing.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, look, Dr. Timmins, is there any point in relation to our discussion that we've missed and that you would particularly like to highlight yourself?
No, I think, you know, we've touched on the kind of benefits of being out in the fresh air and physical activity. And I think that's a message for all of us that we can never kind of drive home enough. You know, physical activity is really good for our mental health, so not being depressed and anxious. And it's also really good for your body and for your blood pressure. And for anyone who's worried about dementia or has memory trouble and is, you know, or has been diagnosed with dementia, to continue to be physically active is really important. And that might be gardening, but it might be dancing or something else.
Right.
But, you know,
okay.
We can never, there's no point where exercise doesn't benefit us. So that's my message, is keep exercising.
Got it. Okay. Well, look, thank you very much for taking the time to join us on Lifeline on 90.3 Near FM, Dr. Timmins. And we wish you great success with your Understand Together campaign and your dementia-friendly garden in Blooms in the Phoenix Park, which can be visited from today until June the 4th, and then in Arklow at a later stage. So, and if the weather holds out, this will be really fantastic. So bye for now, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the near future. Thanks, Dr.
Thanks
Demons.
Thanks very much, Michael. Bye
Thank
now.
Thank you, Suzanne. Bye. Bye-bye.